Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Team Podcast. In this episode, Smythe does a solo take and he breaks down how he really feels about Kawhi Leonard leaving the Raptors. And he also goes into the top duos after a crazy free agency. Who's going to win? Who's not going to win? Who looks good? Who doesn't look good? Who doesn't even count in this next episode? So tune in.
We love sports just like you.
Welcome to the Team Podcast. And I'm alone. It's Smythe. I'm by myself this time. And I'm doing a solo take, which I'm super excited to do. And I know that you guys are excited to hear it. So here we go. I'm just going to jump right into it. But before I do that, the first thing you guys got to know about me is...
I'm the bad guy.
Duh.
I'm not nice. I'm going to say some stuff, and I'm not going to be nice about it. I'm going to tell you how I feel, and I feel hurt. You guys have not seen me since Kawhi Leonard decided to leave Toronto and join the Los Angeles Clippers. And I'll be honest with you guys, I'm going through my five stages of grief. At first, I was in denial, and I said, why would he do this to us? He is silly to leave the Raptors. We just won an NBA championship. We are the best team for him. And this is the best basketball situation for Kawhi Leonard. And then I really thought about it. He didn't ask to be here. He was traded here. He was sent as far away from home as possible. He wanted to go to LA. He asked to go to the Lakers. And they sent him to Toronto. So he gave us his best season. He gave us our best season. But, you know, I was still in denial. My next step, I went to anger. I said, Kawhi Leonard is going to get hurt. He isn't even healthy. Our staff nursed him back to health, and he should be thankful. And there was a bunch of different things that I was saying, obviously off the air, because I did not come on the show. I was going through my grieving stage, people. You have to understand that some things hurt real bad. Next, I switched to bargaining, and I said, listen, like, maybe this is a good idea. Maybe we don't get Kawhi, but we pick up some young pieces so we can rebuild our franchise and head back up the top of the mountain. But we waited 24 years to be at the top of the mountain. Why would we want to jump back down and start climbing again? That is not how King of the Castle works, people. So it was rough. Then I hit the fourth stage, which is depression, and I realized that... our chances of repeating as NBA champions, that's gone. It's not going to happen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put together our first burial of this episode. And the first burial is the burial of the Toronto Raptors' chances of a repeat for this upcoming season. It's very sad. So there's a salute because we did win. We did get there. We got to the top of the mountain, folks. Unfortunately... it's not going to happen again. And so the last stage is acceptance, where we just accept the fact that, you know, Kawhi was traded here. He didn't want to be here, but he gave us everything he had. We helped him be the best player he could be, and he helped us in our time of need, which was the playoffs, in getting over that hump. And he got us all the way over the hump, not only just to the NBA Finals, but we also beat that Golden State Warriors team that we hate so much, and we became NBA champions. So I'll say from me, myself, the Team Podcast in all Toronto, thank you, Kawhi Leonard. You did us a great service and a great job. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy a Kawhi Leonard jersey. And that's just going to stand for the one magical season where we finally got a superstar and we went all the way. We will be the first team known to have a superstar one season and win the championship that same season. I think that's how good this organization is. If you give us a top five player, we are the best team in this league. hopefully our rebuild goes well and we start out and we put together another competitive team and we work our way towards climbing the top of the mountain again, maybe with some homegrown talent as small markets do. So yeah, that's my speech on that. It's time to get into what I came to talk about today. I've heard a lot of people break down the new top duos in the NBA. This offseason was bonkers and it was crazy. And I feel like we talked about the NBA almost the entire offseason. There are two other leagues. There's the NFL and there's the NHL. And nobody even talks about what's going on in any of those leagues because we are fixated on how much change happened in the NBA. But I will say this. This will be my last preview on the NBA before we get into what's happening in some other sports. But it had to be done. I had to break down the top five duels properly because I'm hearing a lot of trash being said out there on different platforms by different people, and I'm not going to say names. I'm not that kind of person, but what I will say is that they are dead wrong. It's absolutely ridiculous how incorrect they are.
Poor unfortunate souls in pain, in need.
They want attention. They're just trying to go with the biggest star power and the biggest story to bring attention. So what I'm going to do for you guys is I'm going to break down the top five duels based on how successful those teams are going to be. And unfortunately, before we even start this, I'm going to disqualify two top duos, because to be honest, they're not even intact this year, okay? The first duel that gets automatically disqualified before we say anything is Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant on the Brooklyn Nets. Those guys aren't playing this year. Durant is out for the whole year. He has a torn Achilles, one of the hardest injuries to come back from. So we can't be like him and Kyrie are a top duo for the next season if Kevin Durant's not even playing next season. And what we're left with is Kyrie Irving playing with a Brooklyn Nets team that has to now form around having a superstar. Last year, they bonded together by being a team, an organization that's fun to be around because they didn't have a drama-filled superstar. They didn't have people in the locker room every day. They didn't have high expectations. We are bringing all of that stuff into Brooklyn and throwing Kyrie Irving there, who I'm going to say it like this. He was in Boston last year with more talented players, and he produced a disappointing season. Now, Kyrie gets a lot of unfortunate flack because Kyrie Irving never asked to go to Boston. It wasn't one of the teams he picked when he wanted to be traded, and they sent him there. He made the best of that situation. But truth be told, this is the first time he's choosing what team he wants to play on. I'm not going to judge Kyrie Irving from his last two seasons, because he didn't want to be there. He was there by circumstance, by trade. Now I'm going to start judging him. And it's probably not going to go well this first season, and it's not expected to. So maybe I may even give him this season off. I may not tear at him and raid him until Kevin Durant gets there, because that's what he signed up for. Anyway, Brooklyn Nets, they're out. They can't be the top duo. They're not playing together. The second team I'm disqualifying is the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And I could take Steph Curry and Draymond Green, not as good, right? If I go Steph Curry and D'Angelo Russell, they don't make the list. But Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, they've been to five finals together. They went to two by themselves. And when Kevin Durant got hurt, they looked pretty good until they ran to the Toronto Raptors. They're a great team. Unfortunately, Klay Thompson's not playing until after Christmas. And I'm saying he won't sit the whole season out because that's not who Klay Thompson is. I bet you he'll try to play before he's healthy and potentially would get hurt again. But can't be on this list. There are five teams that are much better than Klay Thompson coming up in January, February and trying to play and go into a playoff run. But prediction number one, they might go to the NBA Finals again. There's nothing to be said that those guys together, if health plays a factor in things, can't march right back where they came from to the finals. They lost Kevin Durant, but they were playing great without Kevin Durant until they ran into Toronto. And a lot of people were saying, they're not counting health when they're breaking down their duos. How does that factor in? Like last year, if we didn't factor in health, the NBA Finals would have been completely different, right? We don't know who would have won at that point. I still think Toronto would have won, but we don't actually know. And obviously, in real life, injuries play a huge factor in things. So when I'm breaking down these teams, I'm obviously going to take injury history into account because, well, it's taken into account in real life when you're playing the games. Moving on, I'm going to get into my honorable mentions. These are guys that don't quite make the list, but they deserve to make the list. If we weren't looking at unprecedented times and duos, we'd have these two teams and two players, sets of players in the top five. Unfortunately, and very unfortunately, there are some crazy duos this year in the NBA. The first honorable mention, we're going all the way to Denver, and we're taking Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. They were second in the West last season. They were a great basketball team. But when it comes to duos and their potential success, I'm not sure that they make that top five list. Now, I'm going to give you a quick spoiler. I'm including the rest of the team in that top five duo because their effectiveness as a duo obviously relates to how well that team has built the support around them. Okay, so I'm not going to jump in and say, hey, these two guys are great, but this team's not going to work, because if I'm telling you about a team and saying to look out for them, they better be successful throughout the entire season. Okay, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, surrounded by Gary Harris, Paul Millsap, Torrey Craig looks like he'll be in the starting lineup this year. This is a solid team, and they have a chance to rank pretty well in the West going into the playoffs. My problem with this team is playoff experience. When you look at them, they don't have a lot of clutch basketball around them. Swaggy P went there, Malik Beasley, Will Barton. They have good pieces. But how clutch is Paul Millsap? How big has he played in big games? We know Jokic is good, but he's stoppable. And Jamal Murray, he can't carry a team to victory. He can take a team and keep them in the game, but I don't think he's a guy that can win series. So I have them as an honorable mention. They didn't make the top five. You guys can prove me wrong if you want to, but I think I'm right on this one. My second honorable mention is the Utah Jazz and their backcourt matchup of Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell. And I'll tell you what this combo reminds me of. Remember the Lakers, early Kobe, okay? You had Kobe, who was the legitimate straight scorer, and you had Derek Fisher, who was a knockdown shooter distributor. And why that combo worked well is because you didn't tell Kobe he has to be a facilitator. He had to be a playmaker. Derek Fisher did all that stuff, and he would have catch and shoot point guard that can also get the other guys involved and get the balls where it needed to be, whether it be to Shaq or to Andrew Bynum or Paul Gasol or Lamar Odom or the other plethora of talent that they've had on the team over the years. But that 1-2 duo always worked because one guy distributes and one guy just purely scores. Connolly's at the wrong side of 30 and he's coming out of his prime basketball years and he's going to play the most important basketball of his life this year. But his job is going to be to get the ball to the rest of the talent on the team. Joe Ingles, Bogdanović, Rudy Gobert, Jeff Green, Thabo Sefolosha, Ed Davis. A lot of guys that could put the ball on the floor, put the ball in the hoop. Dante Exum. If he gets those guys involved and gets the ball to them, Donovan Mitchell can focus on number one for him, scoring as much points as efficiently as possible. You factor in the defense that's going to be on this team and the shooting on the wings, and the Utah Jazz are going to do a lot of damage this year. They're going to be a very good team. But they don't make the top five, unfortunately, because their proven record of winning isn't there yet. None of those guys have won, which is why they end up in the honorable mention section. Okay, after this quick break, we're going to get into the top five duos and their expected results for the NBA season. But first, I'm going to tell people where they can find the team podcast, and I'll play my happy song. You can catch the team podcast anywhere you get your podcast. So that includes Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and anywhere else you get yours. Also hit us up on our favorite social media sites, which include Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and my personal favorite, Tumblr. That's my happy song. Now, I played it for a few reasons. The first reason is Tim Duncan joined the San Antonio Spurs as an assistant coach, which is exciting. It's pretty good. It spells a couple things. I think they're starting to wind down on the Greg Popovich era. Pop is probably the most recognized NBA coach of all time, and he will be at the end of this. I think it is great for the game to get Tim Duncan back in, but I also think that maybe this is something that they're trying to do to get the franchise back on the right footing, because Tim Duncan has been away from the game for a couple years. Apparently, he's always been in the gym, and he's been playing the whole time, and he wants to try this out and see how much he likes it. I think the Spurs were at their best when you had Pop the coach and the best player was 100% on board. We know that didn't exist with Kawhi Leonard. We're hearing rufflings with LaMarcus Aldridge, and I'm not sure they're ready to call DeMar DeRozan their best player. So I think they're bringing back Tim Duncan to move forward with the Spurs way of basketball, basically. The GM gets promoted to president, and everyone's saying, well, where does that leave Pop? Because before, Pop as the president was above the GM. And now, if the GM moves up to being president, he report to him. Popovich doesn't report to anybody. Let's get that straight before we start anything. If Greg Popovich says something, you know, you got to convince him if you want him to change his mind. You're not going to do something and go over Pop. That's not how that works, okay? Second crazy prediction of this show. I think that Tim Duncan enjoys being an assistant coach, and if he chooses to, he could become a head coach, but he will not be the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. Like I said before,
I'm the bad guy.
Duh.
Becky Hammon's going to get a chance to coach the San Antonio Spurs. She will become the first female head coach in NBA history. And Tim Duncan will be her assistant if he so wants to be. He will not be able to take the team from her and come under her and become the coach of the Spurs. That's just reality and how that's going to go. Now, what Tim Duncan does in that situation, I don't know. But I'm kind of happy to hear the Spurs getting back to Spurs basketball. And there's a contingency plan in place in case Pop decides to hang him up one day. Because up until this point, I really didn't know what they were going to do. Anyway, back to business. Here are the top five duos and their teams in the NBA this upcoming season. And at number five, I got the Portland Trailblazers, Dame Dalla, and CJ McCollum. This is a proven combination. They've already won twice. They were third in the West 2 years in a row. They've also been swept 2 years in a row, and I understand that. But they went out and they got better, adding Hassan Whiteside. Whiteside goes to a smaller market. He's not in Miami anymore. He's not in Florida. There's no crazy lights and stuff around him that's going to distract him from doing what he wants to do best, and that's playing basketball. He wants to keep getting a big contract. He knows he's coming up due soon. He has to help this Portland team win. When you have two elite ball handlers, shooters, distributors, everything there, you bring in Kent Bazemore, you got Zach Collins, and you're going to ride with Yusuf Nurkic, who's going to come back from being hurt. I know he won't be 100%, but when he comes back, I mean, if he has to come off the bench and put in production, I think he can do that rather quickly. Anthony Tolliver, Rodney Hood. I like this team. I like this team a lot. And if they can sneak in and get a home seed in the playoffs, because to be honest, it's going to be all about that home seed in the first round. Home court advantage means everything in the West this season. If they get there and they get to that home seed, I think they can make another trip to the Western Conference Final. Number four, and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this one, but like I said,
I'm the bad guy.
Duh.
The Los Angeles Lakers, LeBron James and Anthony Davis are number four when it comes to duos in the NBA. Their team's going to cost them, but I need you to look at the actual facts. Don't listen to the other people that say they're the best duo and they're going to be the greatest combination of all time and all those factors. I'm going to tell you about the drama headed into this season. point A. They got DeMarcus Cousins, who will be in the starting lineup. He's coming off two injuries, and the year before, a serious injury. His health is in serious question. Also, you pair him with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and you have defensive liability in all situations. And I'm going to break a little bit of that down in a few seconds. That is issue number one. Issue number two is, unfortunate souls, you guys think LeBron James at 35 years old is LeBron James at 25 years old. This is ridiculous. This guy's coming off missing the most games in his career, and likely so. He got hurt on Christmas, didn't play the next 17. Then the team was in trouble. He decided he's going to stop playing. Plus, this guy's fielding Space Jam 2, which is a huge, massive movie, huge basketball distraction, and the reason he's in LA in the first place. Winning championships, I don't personally think, is number one on LeBron James's list. If you look at the surrounding people out here, you got Avery Bradley, hasn't played important basketball in how long? Rajon Rondo, Quinn Cook, Jared Dudley, Caldwell Pope, Danny Green, JaVale McGee. I'm guessing Lance Stephenson will be back. Where is the elite defense for these young up and down basketball players that are coming up and down the court night after night in the Western Conference? Exactly. LeBron James has to play elite defense for the Lakers to have a chance every night at 35 years old, after missing the most games he's ever missed in his career. And he has to put up 28-8-8 for this team to have a decent record. How many human beings can do all of that? I'm going to give you an answer. Nobody. No one's ever done it. No one's done it at his age. I don't think anyone's done it in their prime, put up numbers like that. I don't think he's able to do it. And I also don't think he has the will to do it at this point in his career. His legacy is already built. He's already arguably the greatest player to ever play the game. Why are we thinking he wants to kill himself to get a championship for this Lakers team? Next step. Anthony Davis is not committed to the Lakers after this season. And when they introduced him, he said he will not commit to the Lakers until after this season. If that's not the biggest red flag you've ever seen, I don't know what is. He's waiting to see how this season plays out. He wants to see how Avery Bradley and Danny Green and those guys make him a better player. He's already been with Cousins and Rondo before. They finished 7th. They weren't a top-tier team whatsoever. You add an old LeBron James, you'll be better, but everyone else has also gotten better. And he's not sure what he's going to do after this season. He's going to wait and see. What if Anthony Davis doesn't sign back? What if he goes somewhere else after this season? And the Lakers are stuck with all those draft picks they lost and all those players they lost. This is an incredibly crazy gamble that nobody is talking about. And it's mind-boggling to me. How many times has Anthony Davis played every game in the season? Actually, how many times has Anthony Davis played 75 games in the season? You have three guys that have injury history, and I'm putting LeBron in that category, even though it was only last year. All I'm saying is he's getting older. The chance of getting injured is going up. He's playing less actual basketball and he's filming movies. This guy's head may not all the way be in the game, and if it is, maybe his body isn't, because two seasons ago, his last year in Cleveland, we watched videos of him training consistently every single day to keep his body in shape. He's not doing that right now. I can't put these guys higher than number four because I don't think they're going to be successful. But I got a team that will be successful. Number three. Philadelphia 76ers and their two-hit combo of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. It's not even fair to call them a two-hit combo because there's so many other guys that are on this team. It's actually a four-hit combo. If you look at Tobias Harris, who's also making max money, the other two, and Al Horford, who's very close to making max money. The only problem this team has is Joel Embiid can't stay on the court all the time. And when he's not on the court, Al Horford just plugs in and plays center for him, and then they're on there. The one thing they lost is shooting. I like Josh Richardson. I like him a lot. He plays defense, not like Jimmy Butler, but he's a similar type player to Jimmy Butler, just not as talented. The problem the 76ers are going to have is in the beginning of the season, who's the clutch guy? Who gets the ball at the end of the game? Because it shouldn't be Embiid. The reason Embiid got broken down, in my opinion, and it's just an opinion, I don't have any sources, I personally believe that Joel Embiid had to just do too much. He had to catch the ball on the perimeter. He had to break guys down and drive to the basket. He had to play with his back to the basket, turn on and post up. He had to cover everyone's mistakes on defense, and he had to block shots and do things like that. That's going to break down a guy like him. You have Al Horford there now. Horford can play the defense. Horford can be the outside shooter guy. You can leave Embiid inside on the block. You've effectively cut what this guy has to do at an elite level in half. He's going to get easier shots, easier buckets. There's a lot more open guys out there. Tobias Harris can take some of the load off when you insert him into the offense with the whole summer to work out. Ben Simmons looks like he's getting a jump shot. I don't trust videos from trainers. I see a lot of them all the time, and it shows players improving it and working on stuff. I'm not sure Ben Simmons has the confidence to take a jumper once the game starts, but I see he's working on it. If he gets that a little bit better, this team can go extremely far. And I'm going to say first here, I think the Philadelphia 76ers represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. It's just, there's a lot of star power here. And this star power can play both sides of the ball. And when you add in a James Ennis, you add in a Mike Scott, a Mecca Okafor, Kyle Quinn, Greg Monroe, Amir Johnson's still there. Markel Fultz might come out of the funk. Oh, he's not there anymore. Anyway, first mistake. You have a basketball team that has the experience in the playoffs now. You've brought in a couple guys that have won before. You're now building a team that has potential to go really far. It's them and it's Milwaukee for the Eastern Conference. And the Milwaukee Bucks, they got worse. Unless Giannis got much better. So I'm picking the Philadelphia 76ers, but they're number three on this list of duos and how I expect them to do this year. Now, these last two, I know you know who they are, and it's really tough to pick between them. But obviously, I'm going to do it. And I have in the number two spot the Los Angeles Clippers with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. If you look at this team on paper, they're a defensive masterpiece. They look like they're going to massacre and stop everybody on the court. A few issues, though, that prevent them from being number one. So it's not issues that I'm saying are going to prevent them from being a good basketball team. I'm guaranteeing they're going to be a good basketball team. And I'm not saying they're not going to make a deep playoff run. I am guaranteeing they probably make a deep playoff run. But I am going to say that when it comes down to the final eight, this team may be in trouble. I am going to say when it comes down to the final eight, this team may not be healthy enough to take them through because you're playing very tough competition and you got two guys with very big injury histories. And we'll start with my man, Kawhi Leonard, who broke my heart and hurt my feelings, but I'll have his jersey. I'll have a Raptors jersey, though, not a Clippers jersey. I respect the fact that he went to the Clippers, but I don't care now that he's on the Clippers. That's where I stand. And I feel like everyone can, you know, take their own space, but that's where I stand on this issue. Kawhi Leonard needed help staying on the court healthy. He didn't play 22 regular season games last year. In the playoffs, he was noticeably hobbling. I'm not sure if an offseason is going to help that because the season before and the season before that, he had these same issues. He's been hurt for a long time, a stretch of 4 years. And you at this point start thinking maybe it's something that's degenerative. So the more he plays, the worse it gets. And then he's got to take time off and he's got to come back. Now, with that expectation or that knowing that information, if that's true, because he might be fine, obviously, I don't know the guy. But if that's true, then Kawhi Leonard's going to miss 15 to 20 games this season coming up. He's not going to play the back-to-backs. He's not going to pressure himself to go and win every single game, which could hurt these guys come playoff time. Because I don't think this team is as deep as the Raptors team was last year. They're also playing in the harder conference. So when Kawhi Leonard sits, we can't say they're going to win 75% of the games anyway, which is a luxury he had in Toronto. The one luxury he had in Toronto was that if he didn't play, chances are they're going to win the game no matter what. Kawhi Leonard is obviously fantastic. And if you look down this roster, Wilson Chandler, Michael Beasley, Jamichael Green, Maurice Harkless, Milos Teodosic, didn't say that right, Lou Will, Marcin Gortat, this team looks like they're complete. And remember, they made the playoff last year without Kawhi Leonard and without Paul George, so they could still be competitive. But my bet is they won't be the same as that Raptors team was year before, and Kawhi Leonard's got to play more than 60 regular season games. Paul George is coming off a shoulder surgery, which kind of makes the trade from OKC over to the Clippers kind of a wait and see who wins the trade. And I know the Clippers gave up picks everywhere to get them. Gorgeous, Alexander, Gallinari, and five picks sounds like a pretty good haul for a Paul George who, let's be real, he couldn't really take him anywhere. Once he got to the playoffs, he had nothing left. And this was his best season. He played his best basketball, same with Kawhi Leonard. But by the time he got to the playoffs, he was spent. When someone is like that, I'm not sure if he can have a good season next year. He broke his leg a couple of years ago, came back from that, had a great season this year. But after that 82, he had nothing left. Now he's got to come to this Clippers team where he's got to do a lot of the lifting. I think that games that Kawhi's out, he's got to do all the lifting. He's got to hope this defense carries him all the way through. He's got to hope Pat Beverly carries him all the way through. I'm not sure that's a logical thing to wish on a guy. I don't think Beverly needs that kind of pressure in his life. And once the playoffs start, if those two guys get in the playoffs and they're hobbling, well, the West is full of teams that can just eat you right up. And I'm not sure if that's, you know, ideal. Now, like I said before, they're going to be an elite basketball team. What I'm pointing out is just the issues that they may have in regards to health going into the playoffs, where all the games are important and you got to play every single one. Don't be surprised if Kawhi Leonard or Paul George miss actual games in the playoffs because they're just banged up so much by having to work so hard during the regular season to get a home court advantage in the first and the second rounds. I'll stop knocking on them now because they're actually really good. I'm just, you know. Now my number one and the number one top team, the guys. Guys, I'm jumping on the wagon up because unfortunately I had to jump off of the wagon of the Toronto Raptors. I'm sorry. I know it's my home team and I'll still support you guys, but you guys aren't winning this year. That's how we buried you guys. Actually, before I get to the number one team, I got to do my second burial. Carmelo Anthony has not been picked up by any NBA teams. I thought at least the Los Angeles Lakers would give you a call because they have nobody else. But unfortunately, they don't even want you, Melo. You got to hang them up, man. And you're my favorite player. But now you're being officially buried. We buried you earlier on, but I thought maybe you get a call because the Lakers, they need bodies. The fact that they didn't call you, I don't know. Dang. My number one duo, the duo to watch this year, the duo that I think are going to get it done this season is the Houston Rockets with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. A lot of people think this is not going to work. And I will say this.
Poor unfortunate souls in pain, in need.
Where's your basketball analysis for you to hate on this super combo that's been put together for the sole purpose of taking Mike D'Antoni to the top of the NBA mountain? You had James Harden and Chris Paul. Chris Paul, who was on the wrong side of 30. Chris Paul, who's never won an important basketball game in his NBA career. Chris Paul, who is aging, getting worse, always injured, can play less minutes all the time, gets angry with his teammates, doesn't take blame for himself, pushes it on to others, and you trade him for Russell Westbrook. Say what you want about this guy's three-point shot. It's no worse than Michael Jordan's. This guy averages triple doubles. This guy gets teammates involved that probably won't play in the league in other places. This guy goes out and rebounds and pressures the defense consistently while getting teammates shots, open shots that they knock down enough that this guy averages double-digit assists with minimal basketball talent. And you're going to surround Russell Westbrook with James Harden, Clint Capella, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, Nene Hilario, Iman Shumpert, Kenneth Fareed, and others. Gerald Green, Austin Rivers. How is that not a great idea? When I talked before about one and two combos, and I talked about Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley, James Harden can now just focus on scoring and tipping basketballs and running up and down the court. The speed these guys are going to play at, the pressure they're going to put on defenses, the Mike Tony installed offense of get the ball down the court and in the air quickly, the getting to the hoop, the shooting the basketball from deep, the amount of things that this team is able to do is going to be unbelievable. And watching other teams try to defend this is going to be hilarious. You have Russell Westbrook storming down that basketball court, hitting the corner for Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker for wide open threes, hitting the fast break, throwing lobs to Clint Capella and Gerald Green. And if that doesn't work, you just give it to James Harden and give him 10 seconds on the shot clock and he can go and work his magic. We saw last year what he did when the team wasn't doing anything at the start of the year and Harden put the team on his back offensively. What if you told James Harden you don't have to do that anymore? You can get to sharing the basketball and making the right cuts, and you can take those step back threes and stuff like that when we're under pressure on the shot clock, when we're in trouble in a possession, because you got Russell Westbrook, a distributor, a defender, a slasher, a finisher by your side, a rebounder. Just in case you miss, we got a guy that averages 10 rebounds a game to help you as well. By the way, he'll be playing point guard. You don't have to waste your energy bringing the ball up anymore. You can just get it when you get down the court. By the way, they're boys. They're probably sitting on right now on the phone talking about the different ways they can make this team better. Everything with this makes sense to me. You have two friends that they want to win. Their styles complement each other in the respect of they're both high usage guys. Yes. But LeBron and Wade were both high usage guys. They made it work. Jordan and Pippen were high usage guys. They made it work. I think they have a better surrounding cast than Jordan and Pippen had. They definitely have a better surrounding cast than OKC had previously when Westbrook was over there. I don't see how they don't A, have the best record in the regular season, B, represent the West this year. And yes, I think Mike D'Antoni is going to lift an NBA championship playing his style of basketball. He never sold out and it's going to finally pay off. I will say this, the Houston Rockets moved their horrible contract for a not so great Westbrook contract. But for people to sit down in their chairs and say Russell Westbrook isn't a supermax basketball player, saying that he's a bad NBA contract, that's insane. If you're going to pay anybody over $40 million a season at his age with his talent and what he brings to your city and how he's a great citizen and how he's a great family person, this is the guy you're going to pay that money to. Russell Westbrook will bring nothing but good things to the Houston Rockets, and I'm very happy he gets a chance to win, and I'm a fan this season. If I have a Houston Rockets jersey, another one, because I have a Harden jersey, if I get another Houston Rockets jersey, don't be surprised, and if I jump on the bandwagon, don't be surprised, and if you see me in NBA 2K, and I got the Houston Rockets coming down the court at you, do not be surprised. There you have it, ladies and gents. That's the top duos in the NBA ranked in order based on how they're going to perform this year. I didn't use any numbers. I just gave you straight what I know from my knowledge of the game because I've been playing for a very long time. And if you break down the numbers, you can go back and take a look at them. Trust me, I'll be right. I'm signing off here. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to my solo take, and can't wait to see this season play out.
We love sports just like you.
Hey, sports fans, football season is here, and the time has come for you and your friends to have some fun. MyBookie.net is the industry-leading sports action website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, basketball, college, and all your favorite sports events. You can take a side, total, or try their in-game live action. Go to MyBookie.net to open an account and use promo code CHAMPION to be entered into our amazing prize pool. That's MyBookie.net, promo code CHAMPION. Get in on the action today.
No deposit is necessary. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.